Confessions of Coconuts, episode 36. Hi, I am Coco.
And I'm Cashew.
Hi, Cashew.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Well, as good as I could be with my 28 overdue lessons.
Oh.
Yeah. Thank God it's spring break so I can finally like actually crack down and get on those.
Well, yep. For the folks that don't know what 28 overdue lessons means,
it means it's the end of the world.
So like if you go to regular school, which you go to a building and you sit at a desk and you listen to a teacher, let's say they have a lesson every day. And that lesson might involve, like, tests, might involve you to read a material, might involve you do a group thing with your friends. So all that, you can think, like, 28 times. It's what she has going on here.
Ha-ha. And it's the worst because it's all AP language and composition, which I was explaining this to P today. Guys, listen to me. If you were in high school and you're thinking about taking AP classes, don't do it. Don't do it. Take dual credit. Trust me, it's the best option. Don't make mistakes like me. Don't be like Cashew Nuts.
Well,
don't do it.
Well. Let me interfere one more time. This young lad here.
This young lad. She's stealing my terminology. I can't believe this.
Well, she has skipped grades. And she worked very hard for graduating early. And not that her goal was graduating early when she was skipping these grades. She just has been a very smart young lady. And she's very smart, all right. So when she says that she has 28 overdue lessons, that does not mean she's lazy. That does not mean she doesn't like to do her lessons. It is just that she's just being very, very busy with all the college stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
And now she works. She also does the podcast work on the side. So it's just very, very busy. And I know school should be her priority. And I keep saying that stuff. And it's just that, you know,
as an online school student, it's really hard, you know.
Not just that, but despite her being very, very smart, things distract her very easily.
Well, I can say, wow. Like, I can say that I am I'm a pretty big procrastinator. Yeah, I have a problem with procrastinating because, like, I work best under extreme pressure. And when it's extreme pressure, I often do my best work, which is the worst. My dad always tells me, like, don't do that. You got to break that habit. Otherwise, you're going to be, like, putting everything off until the last minute for the rest of your life. And,
right.
Like, I don't want that. You know, like, I've been seeing it throughout my school life, especially since I did online school. Because, like, online school, they're like, yeah, you can do whatever you want as long as you turn all your lessons by this certain day. And then me, I'm out here, like, getting things done the last hour of the school. I'm like, this is not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good. Don't be like me.
Yeah, no. Don't be like her. So, therefore, if you do want to do AP classes, go for it.
You just gotta be into it. Exactly. And like wanna do it.
Exactly. Not that she wasn't into it when she decided to take this class, because she decided to take this class for a reason. It's just that she did not know that she was going to be doing so much.
Yeah.
And that the classes will be like so long with lots of things involved.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like literally when I was gonna take the class, I was gonna take normal English 12. I was gonna take English 12 honors because that's what I always take. And then I was talking to my counselor last year, and she was like, oh, yeah, you know, if you still want to get academic honors degree, diploma or whatever, when you graduate, you got to take another AP course, another dual credit. And I remember I was telling you a long time ago I was going to take another dual credit course. I was going to take dual credit theater arts or something and, like, learn about the history of theater and, like, all that kind of stuff. And it was going to be cool. But then it cost $150 to take this class with the college. And I was
right.
Like...
Yeah. Speaking of English, that's one of your favorite subjects and one...
I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's one of my best subjects.
Yeah,
I do really good in English.
Yeah, she's very good in English. And another thing that she is really good at, guys, is history. Wow.
I mean, I wouldn't say exactly. In the classes I took with history, they were all right, but like I did get good grades, but like I don't enjoy it that much.
The funny thing though is that when I remember Cashew, when you were like 13, and you know when you have miles that you don't use, and then you receive those letters in the mail saying, oh, you can buy magazine, use your miles to buy magazine. And she would see the mail and I was like, ah, I don't need a magazine, so here, what magazine do you want? She's like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna choose my own magazine. I am want the Time magazine. I was like, oh, a Time magazine? Yeah. So the Time magazine would come and she would read from first page to the last page. This girl would know every single news out there, and she would look forward to go to the mailbox on Friday.
I mean, I think it's interesting. I like listening to like NPR and stuff, and reading the articles and like figure out what's happening.
I just need to tell you this. So we are in the car. It was yesterday, right? Was it yesterday? No, it was like 2 days ago, maybe. I don't know. And we listened to NPR going to work. And I think we were coming back from work. And they say something about the Russian investigation. She's like, whoa. She turns the volume up. Wait a minute. It's been 2 years. I need to listen to this. Mommy, shut up, please.
It wasn't exactly like that. She was just talking. And I was like, And then Mary Louise Kelly on the radio was like, the Mueller investigation has finally completed. And I was like, volume up. Gotta figure out the results. And it's interesting. Like, I've been like reading about this stuff for like ever since I started online school. Cause back in brick and mortar school, I was like, I don't care about that. You know, whatever.
She's like, so now, into politics and history. It's just like, the thing is, it's so like, much fun.
The thing is, the problem is I wouldn't say that I'm into it. I just like to be knowledgeable. Cause I want to be like, oh yes, politics.
Okay, I need to know how many of you out there, they are like 13, 14, 15, or 16, they are into politics.
Please, you know, please. I just think it's a very select few. None of my friends that I actually like, my friends that I like talk to like all the time, I don't think any of them... I remember when I was talking about who shall not be named, who staged his attack... his racial and homophobic attack. I was talking to them about it, and they're like, who is that guy? When did that happen? And I was like, bro, have you guys not been paying attention to the he who shall not be named case? Are you kidding me? And they're like, no. And I was like, telling them about, like, oh my gosh.
Wow. It's like,
yeah, and seriously? I thought like everyone would know. Like, even if you don't watch the show, it's like it's a thing on the news. I'm like, do you guys not watch the news? And they're like, no.
I mean, it's on the radio, like, it's on TV, it's and, like, on meat in the
like,
magazine.
And you have Instagram, like, when you know. Yeah,
social media.
And it was weird because like they didn't know. And often like I'm always talking about things and they're like, oh, when did that happen? I'm like, literally it happened like 3 weeks ago. I'm sorry. You're not up to date.
So I don't know if this infatuation with politics started before or after she found out about Hamilton. You know, when I don't know how old she was when her dad, he was the one who came home with the Hamilton soundtrack.
Biggest mistake of his life. Biggest mistake, I'm going to tell you right now. I remember exactly how it happened.
Were you into politics or history before Hamilton?
That was the time where...
you were like changing and getting to know who you really are, which is like a deep inside, you were like a journalist
trying to come out. Oh my gosh,
and
please.
You were like a... Ari Shapiro wannabe.
I didn't even know who these people were. Like, oh my gosh, no.
Anderson Cooper wannabe.
No. Literally, I remember
I'm gonna
the
wake
year.
Up. She already want to cut her hair like Anderson and call up Gray or
I
something.
I never said that. I am not an Anderson Cooper cosplayer. I'll tell you that right now. But I remember the year that my dad introduced me to Hamilton. We were going to this one camp, he and I. And my dad was like, he was driving us, and my mom was in the car, and he was like, you know, I picked up this thing from the library, I think it'll be this cool thing you like, and I was like, oh, really? Like, and he was like, oh, we'll listen to it in the car, and he was like, well, there are a couple swear words, so I don't know how your mom's gonna feel about that, and I was like, you know, just play it, it'll be okay, I guess, and you know, he plays it.
Do you remember how old you were? You were probably
that was,
like 13.
It was the summer of 2016. So I remember it vividly. It was a July. It was a July. Hot day.
A hot July afternoon.
Yes. Once upon a time on a hot July afternoon 2016.
I found out about hemophilia.
Yes, exactly. I think at that time, so if I think back, I think I was 13 years old. It was the summer before I went into sophomore year.
Yeah.
So it was, I remember, like, as soon as I found out about it, I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, we listened to the first half of the musical on the way there. And then when we got back, I was like, listen to the second half. Like, I didn't even pay attention to the entire time. I was like, camp, because I was thinking of Hamilton the whole time. And I remember thinking, like, oh my gosh, I gotta tell all my friends when I get back to school about Hamilton. And then I ended up not going back to brick and mortar school and ended up just, like, doing online school. But, like, you know,
but that's how the whole infatuation started, and I was like,
I'm sorry.
You know, when I was in Brazil, when I was a kid learning history, okay, let me tell you, history wasn't my forte, but when I was learning history, I didn't learn anything about the United States, of course. I did learn about, you know, back in the day, Roman Empire and the Egyptians, and of course Brazilian history. So I did not know much of the history until I did my citizenship test, which I thank Cachu here for helping me with all the answers.
Yeah, I remember that, like, back in like 2010 or something. That was like 30 mm-hmm. years ago.
It was, yeah, 2010. And wow, you have a good memory, man.
I was just guessing. I literally didn't even
actually
know.
It was 2010.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
I'm like...
2009, 2010.
I'm literally mega mind.
Anyway, so I learned about, you know, the first president, which I think, please don't quote me, there are like lots and lots of questions on the test that you need to memorize, but I kind of forgot most of them. But I remember when she taught me about the 13 colonies, and I remember about learning who was the first president of the United States.
Well, I mean, this is like the stuff that you learn as like a kid in school.
I know,
and like, this
I
is
never
like
learned that before, right?
Well,
so,
yeah, I mean.
And so you guys were like fresh. I mean, you back in the day, you were fresh back in 2010 learning all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you found out about Hamilton, I was like, wait a minute. I know that my memory is kind of like bad when it comes to history, but I don't remember learning about Hamilton at all. Who is this guy?
Well, I'll have to like, okay, let me just like correct some of your facts here right now. She's like, oh yes, Hamilton was the reason of it all. That is not the reason of it all. I'll tell you that right now.
Tell me what was
the reason of it all. Was just because, like, oh, cool. Literally, that's literally what it was. Like, I got into Hamilton, and I was like, I literally gave no, like, crap about, like, any other thing. I was like, literally, like, Hamilton, I was like, cool. I learned some stuff about Hamilton, like, the life or whatever, and I was like, this is totally romanticized. So it's like, probably some of the stuff is fake. And it's like, it's true. Some of the stuff was, like, altered. The history was altered for the sake of the show. But, like, I think that I started, like, the NPR and then Time Magazine. It was just, like, I think it was mostly because since I was an online schooled student, and also because we live in the middle of nowhere, and also because we at that point, before I did online school, we had no internet and no TV. So once I started doing online school, I was like, I can't just be like here in my house mm-hmm. and not know anything. I go out maybe to Cincinnati every once in a while and then have zero idea what's going on around me, can't even hold a conversation with an adult. And the thing is, it was mostly like an awakening for myself to mm-hmm. think like, I need to know what's going on
right.
in order to like hold a proper conversation with like anybody who knows what's going on in current events.
Right, right.
So
well,
that's
yeah,
why
she's
I
right.
Yeah, that's why yeah. I thought it was more important. Hamilton, okay. I guess, also tied into it, because I just have like a ridiculous my memory is like, I memorize things that I shouldn't memorize. So like, I know a bunch of stuff that like is completely irrelevant. So
well, but you do know that there's the history, the real history about Hamilton.
Yeah, because of Hamilton, I did a bunch of unnecessary research yeah. and like reading a bunch of books about it. Yeah.
Yeah, but you are correct. Yes, when we moved here from Colorado, I decided that we did not want to have a TV in our home. Because I felt like in Colorado, our lives was around the TV all the time. And I just didn't like that. I wanted to have family time without the TV. So I decided that we will not have a TV, which means not have the TV itself, but like the channels.
Yeah, having cable.
Yeah, like the channels.
Like DirecTV or whatever.
Yeah, so we would go to the library and get movies and watch on the TV because we had a TV and we had a DVD player. But
and we
actually,
also had the Wii.
So well, actually, though, we there was did a time not where have we didn't, a TV
like
at
a
all.
Legit TV machine. Yeah. Like, we didn't have one of those.
Yeah.
Until a while.
It was actually after a year we moved
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and
we
then I remember getting the TV from Walmart. Yeah. And it was like, we were all like, oh, TV! And then we watched our first rated R movie on that television. It was with Nicolas Cage
which
and Penelope Cruz. And I was
bad,
like, oh my gosh. Something mandolin. I had literally have never forgotten that
well,
moment. Not
you,
a good
you ask
movie.
Me why
don't
in the
suggest.
World did you watch rated R movie with your children? I guess I
it was just
it
a
was
test.
The only movie we had
yeah,
to test the TV and
yeah.
And it was bad. As soon as we realized it was bad, we just remove it. So forgive me that
yeah,
was
that
a
was a
decision.
Time. That movie, zero out of five stars. Just saying.
So anyway, if we stayed without channels, so and then we didn't have internet because they were going to school at a regular school building. I was going to work. I didn't do a lot of remote work mm-hmm. because back in the day I was managing production and so I had to be there all the time. When I started working on a different department, that's when I started traveling more and doing more remote work. That's when I needed internet, and my company actually provided the company I work for actually provided the internet, and I only turned on when I was working from home. So we didn't really have internet to be just surfing online.
Yeah, and I think also one of the biggest reasons for this too is because P and I, we were young, too. Mm-hmm. I was in maybe sixth grade. Maybe it was the second half of fifth grade and then sixth grade when we lived in the house before this one.
Right.
And we were young, so we didn't have, like, iPhones or anything. Or
no.
We didn't have our own laptops, iPads. We played all the time because we were younger. So we were,
yeah.
like, playing the Barbies or whatever.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And, but then, like, now, I feel like it's different because we are older and we've had...
Right, so when...
So it's
even,
different.
Even when, like, Lovely here was the first year of high school,
mm-hmm.
we still didn't have channels and we still didn't have
yeah,
internet.
Like, 7th, 8th grade and 9th grade,
yeah.
we didn't
so
have any of
So basically, what,
yeah.
3 years ago? 4 years
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, we only got internet once
we
started.
We only
started
got internet
school.
Because she decided she wanted to do the online school, and because and it was valid reason why she wanted to do the online school. So then I was like, because of the reason is valid, I will sacrifice. And but before since we didn't have internet, that's when you like. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, since we
had
internet,
I
want to
have
yeah.
Time Magazine. I want to be able to go out and talk to adults about what Donald Trump is doing or what
yeah.
he did yesterday.
Let's talk about the environmental state and global warming and how we're going to experience 2 degrees of warming in the next 20 years. Tell
but
me what you think about this.
I truly believe that she has learned more riding with me
in the car.
In,
yeah.
Because going, she is...
Yeah.
So into the morning show at NPR. It's not even
it's
funny.
Like, it's cool because, like, you know, before I had a job, before September when I got my job, I was, like, the only time that I was actually in the car was when we go to church on Sundays. And usually we'd listen to, like, you know, Christian radio or whatever. We would go there, you know. And typically, like, I don't like listening to Christian radio because they always play the same songs over and over. I'm mm-hmm. like, all right. Lauren Daigle again, cool, love her, but this is the fourth song in a row. But then, like, after, and you know, like, it's to a certain point where, like, yeah, I don't want to listen to this anymore, I need some variety. So once I started going to work in the mornings, you know, it was, one, at first it was once a week, then it was, now it's twice a week where I go, and every day we listen to NPR, and they have, like, Morning Edition, and I'm there, I'm like, cool. And the thing is, at first I was like, NPR, like, I guess I'll just sit here and listen because, you know, I don't feel like reaching over and changing it. So
I don't dare to reach over and
yeah,
change
cause
it. Yeah,
because I don't touch the radio. No, I don't do that.
That is so funny because when I first had contact with NPR, I was a nanny long, long time ago when I first came to the U.S. and the lady used to listened to NPR. I rode with her very limited time, very few times, but every time she was listening to NPR, and I was like, what is this?
Not exciting. Don't like it.
I had no idea what it was, because back then I did not understand the radio, right?
Oh, really?
So when I married your father, he did this thing with me that he came home every day. He would come home from work and we would just sit in the living room, just talk and stuff. One day we were just sitting there and he's like, did you hear what they just said on the radio? And I was like, they said something on the radio? And he's like, you didn't hear what was just said on the radio? And I was like, I don't understand the radio. He's like, how come you don't understand the radio? I was like, I feel like for me to understand English, I have to have a person in front of me for me to kind of like not just make sense of the words, but like for me in the beginning, it was more like reading was easier because that's how I learned with him how to speak English, was reading how he wrote things. And so he's like, and back in the day, we just didn't have a TV, and I wanted to have a TV so bad. And he's like, we are not going to have a TV until you can understand the radio. So what I did not know is that we actually had TV with channels. He just never told me.
Wow, that's one way to do things. That's hilarious.
He took the TV, I swear, the cable that connects the TV to the wall, he took with him. Not just that, but also, he's a bad person. Not just that, but the remote control. He took with
him. You would do the same thing to us when we rode the TV too much back in Colorado.
I'm telling you. And then the only thing that was available was the radio. And he would come home. Instead of us sitting down and talking, he would quiz me what was on the radio. And the thing is that only allowed to listen to NPR. So here I am, not understanding a thing. I will have to sit and just listen to NPR. And I think it took me, I would say, maybe a week or maybe less for him to, he would come home and ask me, so what was on the news today? Because he would hear the same news, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I would come up with something stupid. And
wow,
not
me.
Say anything.
Oh my gosh.
But I think on the fourth, fifth day, he asked what was the news, and I said, and he's like, ta-da! You understood.
Victory!
So, yeah, he was always like that, pushing me like so hard to learn things, but that was how I learn and appreciate NPR. Like, actually, you know, who can say that you started understanding English with NPR? I mean, that's just like, public radio just made me who I am.
That's really, that's ridiculously deep. Wow. I mean, for me, it was more like, wow, this is boring. But then I actually like start listening. It's kind of like, you know, kind of cool, kind of dig it, you know, and like, wait, don't tell me. Prairie Home Companion. Yeah, I'll listen.
Not
to
just
that,
but the jingle. She cannot live without that jingle.
All things considered jingle. yes, if it wasn't copyrighted, I'd be like singing all the time. But like, oh my gosh. And then Coco, she tells me, like, this is the same jingle since the 1970s. And then she's like, I was here in the United States back in 2000s, and I heard the same jingle. I'm like, whoa, mind blowing. And it's like, I don't know. I just think, like, NPR is cool. And you know, I was like, I think it's important for everybody my age, and it just maybe even like adults to listen to the like to the radio, or at least like to know what's going on. And you know what's sad is like all the stuff on the radio or on the news is like it's all or like just in like, you know, scrolling on Instagram, you see like the news posts or whatever. I, you know, it's like it's pretty dismal. You know, like all the stuff's going on. Like it seems like society is regressing instead of like becoming more of an advanced, progressive society. And yeah. I'm like, And, you know, but it's, like, it's good to know what's going on so, like, you're informed and you're not, like, living under a rock, even though you literally live in, like, I don't know, a populated area with people around you to talk about these kinds of things.
Right. I feel, though, that sometimes the young folks just don't want to know, just don't want to get involved because it's so difficult to understand or it's so difficult to grasp. Or maybe it's, like, do I want to get to know this because my opinion doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And so that's why, like, when you mentioned Instagram, because back in the day when you had access to Instagram, I remember you said one of the things that I need to follow Time Magazine, okay? Because I was like,
oh yeah,
I was like, you already get the magazine every Friday. You're like, excuse me, I don't need to wait for the news on Fridays when I can get the news right here.
Yeah, by the minute.
And then you would be so excited, like, every week they review the cover for the following week. You're like, yes! Did you see the cover?
I don't know if anybody else gets that.
That's what I would say. Who gets so excited about Time Magazine?
I think I'm literally one of the strangest kids in the United States. I'm serious. Like, she I don't know, like, any other 16-year-old. Or when I was at that age, I think I was like 14 when I got Instagram. You know, I don't know anybody who's like 14, 15, 16 who looks at the Time Magazine cover reveal. I'm like, oh, look at that Time Magazine cover review. Literally all the kids my age are like, oh yeah, did you like see the new show on the CW? Like, ooh.
And I'm like, that, like, talking about rap music
or something. I don't even know what people talk about nowadays because I don't talk about that. So, you know, I'm not trying to be like, oh, I'm so quirky or whatever. Like, I'm not one of those guys. I'm just like saying, you know, it's just like, guys, like, if you're listening to this, you should listen to NPR. Just saying, like, it's cool, it's good, and you can talk. Yes. If you're my age, you can talk to adults and they won't think that you're imbecilic. Like, I'm serious. And like me, like, I love talking to people. I love talking to, like, people my age. I love talking to people who are younger than me. I love talking to, like, adults. I just love talking. Yeah. You know,
and I remember the first time you had your first conversation with an adult about, like, the things you listen on NPR or that you read on the Time Magazine, and you're like, I just had a conversation with an adult.
It's
today.
So cool. It's like, it's an achievement. It's like achievement unlocked.
And the adult was actually listening to me.
That, okay. So, like, that's one thing that's, like, super great. Like, being a kid, you know, the parents or, like, the adults in the world always dismiss you. You're like, oh, just another teenager, like, with their stupid ideals or whatever. Like, we don't have to listen to them because, like, their opinion doesn't really matter in society right now. But, like, when you know what you're talking about and you can actually engage the person you're talking to, especially if, like, they're older than you by, like, 15 years.
Oh,
and
way more than that.
Or, like, way more, like, they're, like, a legitimate adult. Like, they're, like, three times your age. And you're like, oh, yeah, so I heard this. And, you know, you might, like, for me, I have this weird way of talking. Like, I'm like, ooh, you know, all the time. Like, if you guys haven't noticed, you guys literally listen to this podcast. But
if you only see her smiles and her way she talks here, she's all like animated.
I'm always moving around. People at my birthday party, people were like, it's like, you're really energetic, aren't you? I'm like, this is me all the time. And they just haven't seen me in forever. So it's just like, like,
just
when,
like,
you
me,
see
how many drinks did you have? I was like, none.
I know,
and
right?
You jump up and down.
It's good. It's good to be an energetic person. Totally. You know, it's just like, but like when you're talking to somebody and like you can like visibly see that they're engaged, like they're listening to you and they're not like scrolling on their phone. They're not like looking around. They're like giving you undivided attention. And like you're talking and they're like an adult and you're like a kid or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like they're listening to you and they actually like care about what you're about to say.
Especially when you know that the person you're talking with has different opinions than you.
Yeah.
And that even the subject you guys are engaging is a subject that is very sensitive to be talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But that the adult is actually giving you
the time of day. Yeah.
I know. To go like, tell me again why I should listen to you.
And it's not, they like start to see you as like not just like a stupid kid. They start to see you as like kind of somebody that could kind of like, this is like kind of a decent conversation. And like, it's cool. I don't know. I just feel like, so I think that's like so awesome. Just like being.
Let's us all learn about the Obamacare. Let's all learn about the environmental crisis. Let's all learn about the current government situation and just have a chat.
Yeah, I just think it's cool. For some reason, I just think it's cool. I love knowing about what's going on because then I can hold conversations with people. And the thing is, like, me, as somebody who is, I don't go anywhere, haha, like, you know, online school student life, right? Am I right? Haha.
Oh, man.
So I don't go anywhere. And the only people that I talk to are usually adults. Like, this I go places girl. And I literally talk to adults. And then I'm going to be going to college, right? And all the people in college, yeah, they might be, like, 2 or 3 years older than me. But, like, there are going to be, like, professors there. There are people who are wiser than me in a sense. But I'm still going to be, like, juvenile, you know? Like, I'm still going to be, like, a little kid who should still be in high school. And, you know, I can, like, engage in conversations with these people and be like, yeah, let's go to a protest. Woo, woo, woo. I was like, yeah, protest.
Yeah, speaking of the girl that I was talking to you about, the greater girl from Switzerland who was nominated for the Nobel Prize.
I don't know why I didn't hear about that, because somehow I didn't hear about that.
OMG, you guys, please check her out. She's amazing, especially listen to the talk of her on the United Nations. The girl knows how to speak. And I don't think she started her activism when she was 16. I think she was younger than that. So she is a truly example that it doesn't matter how old you are. And especially in this day and age where, you know, if you think about the environment, which is the kind of activism that she does, the kids, are the ones who are going to be inheriting the planet.
Yeah.
So whether you believe or not in climate change, us adults, me in the 40s or the 50 adults or the 60 adults or even the 30s adult, you might not even like take or feel some of the consequences, but the kids, they will all feel. If the scientists are saying that life's going to be very difficult after 2050. That's not long from now. So,
and that's something, that's the only thing that I hate talking about. And like, hearing about in the news, I was listening to the NPR the other day, and some guy, he was like, you know, the damage has been done. Like, we are going to die in the next 100 years. And like, some places might become inhospitable. And then and I was like, so I was like, let's go back to Christian Station, who plays the same music over and over. I don't want to hear this anymore.
But that's what some people do, though. They don't want to hear the reality, and they turn off the volume in their own minds. And a lot of people do that with not just the news, but with life.
And they just don't want to hear what they don't want. They don't agree with.
So, for example, I don't want to eat healthy because I just don't want to deal with it. Right? I please don't talk to me about hydrogenated oils or. Oh, don't talk to me about enriched flours. I can't deal with this. So they turn off that button so they can't deal with that. So when they are in pain, they, I guess, just deal with it in a different way. Same thing with relationships. You don't want to hear what the other are saying. So you turn off and you pretend that everything is all right.
Yeah, this is what we call selective hearing. And I feel like that is a problem in our general society. Because a lot of people, they're like, you know, if you don't agree with me or if, like, I don't want to hear what you have to say, so I'm just going to, like, pretend it's not happening right now.
Right.
And I'm like, you guys, like, okay, so, like, yes, of course there are things that I hear that I'm like, wow, I wish I could totally unhear that, and I don't want to hear about that anymore and, like, the rest of my life. But, like, we have to, like, all of us as a society have to come to, like, terms with all the stuff that's going on, mm-hmm. because otherwise we're all just going to be, like, an ignorant species and, like, not knowing what's going on. And we got to know.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's going to be disastrous.
Yeah, and, but you know, the problem is not just that. The selective hearing is also that, because you don't agree with me,
there's always a discourse. Fight. Yeah,
why can't we agree to disagree and try to treat each other the way we want to be treated?
Yeah, that's not also something that's really difficult in this day and age, because everyone's like really opinionated. They all have like I feel like this generation and like just like this day and age, like now everyone's like, you know, they're more vocal about their opinions, and they're like less
social media has done a lot to people's opinion, but also has done a lot to put people down because of their opinions.
Yeah, I think people, because of the people's opinions, and also because, like, you know, like, if I have an opinion and then Coco has an opinion, you know, and then, like, we both don't agree, and then, like, we're both less receptive to, like, other people's opinions because we're, like, so stuck and stubborn in our own ways. And, you know, that's also another problem. Like, I could, like, list all the problems with society because I'm, like, you know, we just love that about living in the United States in 2019. And, you know, like, sure, this is also happening, like, around the world, right? You know, did you guys hear about, like, what happened in New Zealand? Because, literally, I had never heard of white nationalists in another country except the United States. Like, I was, like, white nationalists in, like, you know, in New Zealand? Like, I was literally, like, I had no idea. And, like, sometimes
especially New Zealand, that is a country that is built by the natives of that
location. The indigenous people. Yeah. And, like, you know, I feel like people, especially, like, me, I guess, for example, like, I forget about the entire world. Like, I think it's like, oh, it's literally just the U.S. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't know if anyone else feels that way, but, like, sometimes I just, like, I forget that there are millions and millions and millions of other people in the world going around with their own lives. They have their own families. And it's, like, absolutely mind-blowing. It's not just me and my tiny little country Indiana town. It's not just, like, the very few people that I interact with on a daily basis. It's so many other people and so many other countries and expanses of ocean and sky. And, you know, it's, like, it's absolutely insane. And, like, there are also problems going on in these other countries. And it's not just the United States. The United States isn't the only place with problems, even though, like, that's kind of what it feels like, you know? It's, like, there are so many other things going on in all these other countries. And I feel like the more that we think about that and, like, thinking about what happened in New Zealand, which is, like, that's absolutely devastating. Like, I, like, listened to it, and I was literally, like, I was reading stuff online about it, and I was, like, crying. I was like, oh my God.
Not just that, but then you think about Theresa May and what she's going through right now with all the Brexit stuff.
Yeah, and then, like, and like, we don't think about that kind of stuff.
It's so powerful, and it's so important to them right now.
Yeah, and, like,
and how she's putting her case out there. And I've never heard a group of people so passionate about something and about a discussion like the British when they are in the house discussing Brexit.
Yes.
You hear those guys yelling, but yet they are so polite. I love all the Brexit conversations. And you hear Theresa May speak, you're like, damn, this woman is something.
I don't know. That's just like, that's just a thing that is great about public radio. I'm just saying, you know, like, right now, shameless plug, you know, NPR sponsor me, because I will literally preach the name of NPR for the rest of my days. Like, I am not even kidding right now. Like, when you just, like, know what's going on, it's like your eyes are open, it's like third eye, you know, it's like, whoa, like you literally know what's going on, and, like, you can hold conversations. And, like, you know, back again to the thing is, like, being a kid and you're listening and you're informed, then, like, people will hold you to a higher standard. Are you sick of feeling like trash? People, like, talking like you're trash? Just, like, know what's going on, and they'll, like, stop treating you like trash. Like, I am literally, like, the testimony of this.
Yeah, and it's not, again, like you say, you are not trying to be a know-it-all. You are just trying to be in the know.
Yeah, be informed. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, like, really important that a kid can hold a conversation, because not just that you are in high school and you are trying to learn what's going on, but that there is life beyond high school.
Yeah.
And that you need to do volunteer work to be able to build your resume when you are in high school, so you can get better college settings. Mm-hmm. Or you need to, I don't know, just be smart and knowing all these daily facts, right? Because, I mean, it is just so important, and that it is affecting daily history.
Yeah,
I mean, all these facts someday
is gonna be in the history book. Be weird.
Some kid is gonna learn about these facts that we are living today. Can you imagine, like, that the Romans a long time ago, when they were going through all this stuff, conquering the world, that they would think that we would be learning about that today?
That's literally like revolutionary. Like, did Julius Caesar like really? Was he like, I'm totally gonna do all this stuff?
Did Hamilton really think that today, in 2000 and something, whenever the guy wrote to Hamilton,
2015,
that there would be a show about his life?
I wonder if like these founding fathers are like. Up in you like heaven or whatever. They're just like, oh yeah, you know, there's a musical about me. I'm literally top tier. I am the founding father of all founding
Not
fathers.
Just that, just to think that Capital One would just do a bunch of commercials about history.
Yeah, okay. Like, I'm so amused by this commercial.
It was a good marketing right there.
Thanks, Capital One. I know. I watched them
for
on YouTube.
For those
who sometimes.
Love history, that was a good one. Keep going with that one that he's crossing the highway on the boat.
Yes, George Washington. Do you know where that's from?
Well, you explained to me because I had no idea.
Of course, he's like, well, who is that man in the boat on the highway? I'm like, let me tell you about
tell
the man
more.
In the boat on the highway. So, yeah. So, you know, it's cool to know about history, you know? It's like,
yeah.
Like, for me, it's just like, you know, I was never, like, in school, I was always like, ugh, you know? Like, remember when I was in eighth grade and I took history? It was like, I don't even know what it was. It was like history. There wasn't anything, like, specific. But we're, like, learning about all this other stuff. And, you know, for me, I always hated it. I did not like being in history. Especially because, you know, here, little nowhere town, like, I am of the very small minority of being African-American. And whenever we got to the unit, we would talk about slavery, everybody would look at me. I'm not even kidding. It made me so uncomfortable. It's the kind of uncomfortable, like, I start heating up. And like, the thing is, like,
I'm so sorry.
They wouldn't directly look at me. Not everyone. It's not in, like, the movies where they all turn up, like, unanimously. And they all, like, look. And you're like, ah! It's more like, kind of like the side eyes, like, stuff going on. I'm like, like I hated that. And the thing is, because like I was the only kid in class, and it was like that they thought like I could relate to the slavery and the struggles. I was like, bruh, I live in the same century as you. Like, I don't even know about that kind of stuff. But like,
thank God.
You know,
can you imagine though?
No, I can't even imagine. Literally, okay, so taking I this semester, I don't know if I probably told you guys at some point, maybe last semester or something, I'm taking ethnic studies. Because, you know, I was like, cool, black people getting to know about the history. Because, you know, I just think nowadays, like, for me, as an African-American, as, like, African-American, like, girl, I think it's important for me to know about, like, the people of African-American culture and how they shaped the United States and, like, writers and government leaders. And I was like, cool.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, it's, like, it was, like, about that, but it's, like, about all this awful stuff. And, like,
it hits you bad, doesn't it?
I know. I was reading some of this stuff in one of the recent lessons. And, like, I was reading this stuff. Oh, my God. I was talking to my dad about it, and, you know, I was in, like, Walmart. I was, like, my eyes are all tearing up. When I was reading, I was, like, looking away. I was, like, I cannot even read this. This is so awful.
Yeah.
And it's, like... Like, I thought, I was like, ooh, African-American leaders, but I was wrong. I was like, the first unit was good. It was, like, talking about Ghana. You know, I'm Ghanaian. I'm like, cool. I'm from, like, ancient African kingdom. How cool is that? I'm, like, probably descendant of some sort of royalty. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And I was like, awesome. But then it's like, Southern, the South, the slavery. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So it's like... It's still informational. It's good to know, like, how far the African-Americans have come in the United States. But, you know, there's still lots of development needs to be made, like, growth. I think also for both sides, you know?
Right.
But, like, regardless.
Yeah, it is a very sensitive topic.
I think so.
Very sensitive topic for you to learn and for you to, it's even to read about it, it's kind of
yeah
difficult.
It's really painful
for you, especially that don't have a lot of contact with the culture. It must be difficult knowing that you are part of it, but you don't
kind
know
kind of
much.
A strange yeah.
So my apologies to you.
Like, it's
you,
there's not much I can do about it. Like, sure, I do, like, sometimes, like, freelance Ghanaian history lesson. Like, I've searched, like, several times what my name means. I, like, searched the dialect. I'm like, cool, maybe I'll learn to speak this. I won't. You know, I don't know. It's, like, just, like, taking ethnic studies, for me, I think it was a good experience. And, like, I'm not done yet. I still have a bunch of stuff to learn. And I'm finally getting out of the part where they're talking about, like, the bad racism stuff. But we're going to learn about...
Well, the
probably
sad,
more racism stuff, but yeah,
the sad part is that you are learning the studies that happened long time ago, and here is 2019, and that's still happening today.
Yeah, and then back to the thing, it's like society as a whole is literally regressing. Like, yeah. People are like, oh, yeah, we're, like, so we're so much better than what happened. It's like, yes, we're so much better.
Are we really? Like, that's the question, right?
I think it's just, like, we don't have people in, like, legit slavery right now, as an entire institution. Sure, there's, like, literally slavery still going on, you know. There's, like, sexual slavery. There's, like, child slavery. I was reading this one book one time where these people, like, took this girl from the Middle East, and they used to live in the Middle East, and they moved to the United States, and the girl was literally a slave for the family. She was, like, 10. And, like, nobody noticed. Like, there were neighbors, and no one noticed that this girl, she's, like, has different clothes and everyone, and, like, she's up at, like, 11 p.m., washing dishes, and that's how, like, somebody found out. The next door neighbor looked out one night, and the girl is the window's open, she's washing dishes at like 11:30 at night, all the other window, and it's like she's like, huh. And that book was, if I find up the name of that book, I will, like, put it in the show notes, because that book was hard hitting, man. It was crazy. Yeah.
And unfortunately, there are some cases like that happening around the world right now, that some people are captive and they don't know how to get out of their mm-hmm. lives, or sometimes they don't even know what other life,
yeah,
because that's their lives. And it's just really, really hard to understand and even to live with it, knowing that we are free here, and that even though there are difficult times that we have to go through, we are still free, and nobody is basically telling us what to do, because there's no hold on us. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I am glad that we live in a society, we live in the United States, where that is something that we
can, like,
say.
It's like, it's valued,
yeah,
here.
I am from Brazil. You guys all know that. That is where I was born and where I was raised. I have lived in the U.S. though more than I have lived in Brazil. So I am an American citizen as well. But I feel that in my own country, Brazil, I am free to choose to do and to live the way I want. Yeah, every country has its own battles, its own difficulties, but I know there are places around the world that has way, way,
way
worse
yeah,
than,
more problems
than what we have,
yeah,
from the two countries that I'm from. And if you know, Kashu is part Ghanaian, and I mean, man, Africa, the African continent has a lot of things going on right now. There are many countries in that continent, and there are many with a very difficult situation right now. As you know, we had this weather, crazy spring weather, I think last two weeks ago, and there was crazy weather going on everywhere. And Mozambique in Africa was hit big time. And here we had, like, I think Colorado had a bunch of snow happening. There was a lot going
on. Was it when we had the tornado?
There was a lot. There was a tornado here in Indiana. And Mozambique had so much rain that was flooding everything. And right now, the situation is so desperate that it's very hard to watch. And Mozambique it's not the only country in Africa that is in bad situation,
yeah,
if you think that way. And then you know, it is very hard to just stop and think how good we have, because there's so little we can do to the ones that have difficult life, you know.
Yeah.
And it hurts just to think. So that's why sometimes people just decide not to think, not to do anything, not to act.
Because
it's
really
easy to live the day to day. Because if you think all the difficult things that is happening, that you are listening in the radio, because guys, we don't listen to good news on the radio.
Yeah, that's like, it's very, very sparing. Very, very rare when that happens. You hear like actual good news.
Right. Why can't we just have one day on the week, 1 hour on the week that we just telling good news? Because like, seriously, no wonder people don't want to get involved, to know things, because sometimes it's just so much negativity. Mm-hmm. And then you want to live a positive life and you really can't because it's just so much negativity around you. And that's one of the reasons why I don't want to watch TV, because, you know, yes, there's a lot of good stuff on TV, but there are more things that put you down.
I think when it comes to television, I feel like the thing for me, I would rather have the radio over the television. Also, like, if you have internet, what's the point of having a television in the first place? Like, it's not that, I mean, like, yeah, the stuff on, like, TV, like, the news is, like, I feel like is even more, like, negative than, like, the radio.
Yeah, if we could control the internet, though, now, if we could control the TV, where you could select the channels you want to,
that'd be so much better.
That would be 100% more, I mean, that would be 100% better than the internet, because the internet is bad. The internet is bad because you can't control. Let's talk about internet neutrality here.
Oh, God. I remember when I first heard about that, I was so panicked. I was like, oh, my gosh, gotta send all these petitions. I don't even know what I'm going
to
do.
She was ready to fight.
I was freaking out. I was like, am I going to lose all the access to, like, my internet? And, like, to my, like, I can't go on Instagram because they're like, oh, yeah, I got to pay 50 cents every time you want to access this page. I'm like, ah, I have no money. And it's like, I was freaking out. And I don't even know if that's, like, a thing. People,
I mean,
aren't even
worried
about that anymore.
We don't want internet neutrality. We don't want that. And I'm not saying I want internet neutrality. But
No. It's the thing. Internet neutrality is a good thing. They were trying to end internet neutrality.
Okay. That's what I mean.
Yes.
That's what I mean. I don't want to be limited, right?
Right.
But I do want to limit
what you want to look at. Not be limited by exterior people.
Yes. I don't want to just have this open channel where everything and their cousin is available. I don't want that.
I feel like that's a very vast subject for a different day. That's crazy. It's absolutely insane.
What?
Just the internet. It's absolutely crazy. So, like, but if I had a decision, I would choose internet over the TV because, in my opinion, everything on TV is garbage. Every single television show. Garbage. The times where I used to watch like Disney Channel, I was like,
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
I'm telling you,
M-I-C-K-E-Y.
No, that's not how it goes. That's how it goes. It's the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. M-I-C-K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. It's been so many.
Those were the times.
That was actually when TV was good.
Yes.
I remember watching My Little Pony on TV. Ooh, yes, My Little Pony. I still know the entire theme song.
Good Times, Sesame Street.
No, Good Times, Susie Orman.
Ooh.
Yes.
Now we're talking.
Now we're talking.
Now she grew up like in the blink of an eye.
I'm just saying. I remember watching Susie Orman back in like 2000. Like 2000. I was like young.
I would love to do like a rerun of Susie Orman.
And she's not even on TV anymore. Like, was she canceled? Like, we gotta know. We gotta find out.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Yeah. So, wow. Look at you and all this knowledge. Man, Susie Orman.
Well, you guys can be like me if you just listen to NPR. I'm going to try to get my best reporter voice right now.
Go ahead.
Thank you for listening to the Confessions of Coconuts. If you want to support, I don't even need to talk about this because it's literally at the right after this. So, all right. So thank you guys for listening and support NPR, support your local news station.
Yeah. And if you just have a spare change after you support NPR and you want to donate to Kashu, hey, please feel free to do so.
Go ahead.
You can go to our website, confessionsofcoconuts.com, and donate your spare change because the girl over here, she needs it. She's going to college. And, you know, the college hasn't given her a full scholarship yet, so she is looking for donations.
Regardless. Tune in next time for whatever on earth we're going to talk about, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Yep. See you guys.
Bye. podcast is brought to you by me and my mom. The editing is done by me, and the music is done by my mom and GarageBand. If you want to check us out on any of our social media, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook as Confess Coco and YouTube as Confessions of Coconuts, where we post all of our cool adventures of us being zany and eating a bunch of cool food and stuff. If you want to get in touch with us, you can go to any of our social media. If you want to donate, you can go to our website, confessionsofcoconuts.com, and go to the donate page and drop some spare change while you're at it. While you're there, you might as well go visit the show notes and subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe, because you're supposed to subscribe to all podcasts, and I know you love us because you're listening right now. It'd be cool if you could share us on whatever social media you have and just get the word out so we can continue to bless other people's ears with our amazing voices and our silly stories. The podcast is a lot of work, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and we truly thank you for listening. On that note, leave a review. Thank you so much.